Please join me in prayer.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer.
Amen.
Your brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. A children's Christmas program that I attended earlier this month featured a reading of popular author Max Lucado's story, The Crippled Lamb, which no doubt is, as his website describes it, an inspiring story that has encouraged thousands of children who have felt left out or who have special needs. In the story, God has a special role for the crippled lamb to play in keeping Jesus warm after his birth, much like the various roles the animals played in the song, The Friendly Beasts, which some of us may remember. Yet to some extent, both of those tangential and fictional tellings of the Christmas story can take us away from its central focus on the birth of our Savior and what the Bible reports as its true details. Already, only about two-thirds of the Americans surveyed recently reported believing the historicity of such things as Jesus' being born to a virgin and laid in a manger, an angel's announcing his birth to shepherds, and the stars guiding wise men to him to bring him gifts. We hardly need to add any less likely fanciful aspects to the story, or suggest the Bible's accounts are themselves somehow inadequate. In fact, there is no registering, journey to Bethlehem, sold out in, swaddling clothes, or manger in the divinely inspired St. John's account of Jesus' birth, which we heard in the gospel reading. I'm not suggesting those things are untrue, but simply drawing our attention to St. John's in some ways simpler account. The Word that from eternity always was with God and was God became flesh and dwelt among his creatures. The drama of even that simpler account of the incarnation is no less, but perhaps more ponderable. Think about it. The Word that from eternity always was with God and was God became flesh and dwelt among his creatures. In that vein, a line from a sermon by Church Father St. Augustine is quoted on your bulletin cover. God who made man was made man. And a longer, more extended version of that sermon quotation describes all the things that once made man, he was able to do, all ultimately, as the Nicene Creed puts it, for us people and for our salvation. You and I, and undoubtedly at least a few of our members, family, and friends who are not here this morning, for whatever reasons, likely know and appreciate God's loving gift to us in the incarnation of his Son. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not understand it. The creator of the world was in the world, and yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. Elsewhere, St. John records Jesus saying that our sin-plagued and so death-deserving flesh is of no help at all. But life comes from the Spirit. Apart from the Holy Spirit, you and I and our absent members, family, and friends also do not understand the light, know our Creator, or receive our Savior. The divinely inspired St. Paul writes to the Corinthians that the natural person does not accept the things of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. And yet God in his wisdom saves those who believe through what we otherwise regard as folly. Namely, Christ not only born, but also crucified for us. The Holy Spirit leads us to turn from our sins and trust God to save us from our sin for the sake of the Word not only made flesh, but also crucified for us. We who, as the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther points out, otherwise lack grace and are full of falseness and only displease God, nevertheless are made to receive from the fullness of grace and truth that comes through Jesus Christ. Not the Virgin Mary's own sinlessness, but the Holy Spirit and or the second person of the Blessed Trinity's own holiness made his flesh, conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary, to be without sin. He is, as we heard in the epistle reading, the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, not only through whom he created the world, but also the world's upholder. The Virgin Mary conceived and bore a son, and God is with us. In the flesh of Jesus, God dwelled among his creatures as he had previously dwelled in the tabernacle and temple, showing forth his glory. Only in Jesus' case, God's glory was shown in his crucifixion for us. The Jews destroyed the temple of Jesus' body, and in 3 days he raised it up, inviting his disciples to touch his resurrected flesh that he shares with us. Born under the law, Jesus kept the law that we fail to keep, and he redeems us from our failures to keep it by sending into our hearts the Spirit who leads us to cry out to him and makes us his children. We are his children, as St. John describes, born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of human will, but born of God. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but spirit gives birth to spirit. And so in holy baptism, we are born of water and the Spirit. Holy baptism is understood as our illumination, God's giving us his light, and so we believe in his name. The Word, who is at the Father's side, makes God known to us, speaking to us through Holy Scriptures read and preached, so we understand the light, know our Creator, and receive our Savior. The Word made flesh breathed out the Spirit on his apostles, and the Spirit is passed on to their successors, our pastors today, for them to forgive sins in individual holy absolution. And on this Christmas day, we have the Mass of Christ, bread that is the body of Christ and wine that is the blood of Christ, body and blood, born, crucified, and now here today, given for you. We eat his flesh and drink his blood, have life in us, and will be raised up at the last day. Some people may try to think otherwise, but Jesus was born in order to die. Christmas is nothing without Good Friday and Easter. We who are made God's children should expect nothing different than what Christ experienced. We also experience the cross before we experience the fullness of our resurrections. We suffer not only because we are Christians, but also because God permits other afflictions at Christmas and throughout the year. Afflictions to discipline us, and so to draw us closer to him in faith, and ultimately to take us through death to eternal life. As Job asked his wife, "Can we accept good from the Lord and not also what we might think of as bad?" With the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther, we thank and praise God for chastising us as he does. In the Word made flesh is life, and he gives life to whom he will. He is the resurrection and the life. And those who have died believing in him live yet with him and are united with him and us as we celebrate this Christ Mass. And all who believe in him now or ever will also live with him. We have that comfort, peace, and joy even now. So this Christmas day, I say to you, as the divinely inspired Isaiah said in today's Old Testament reading, break forth together into singing, for the Lord has comforted and redeemed his people. The Lord has bared his holy arm before the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Amen. I can't amen that. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.